You may be seated. We continue this morning in our continuum as we expositorily outlay that which God has conveyed to the church. In doing so, we have structured the dissertation. Everybody repeat after me. Scripture distinctions. Actualization in eternity. From manifestation in time. Now, I hope that everyone can get this document. It's available here. Amen. We'll talk about that in another service. We'll pass out different parts, and here, if you obtain this, you'll have it all in one. For those that might be listening on the website, www.gracegospelministry.com/org, and in the section that we are doing the discourse in, you will find this document. Or if you go to the audio to listen to the messages, there's an icon there you can click and get this document. We have endeavored to convey these truths in Revelation and formatting it, because what we have gleaned is that without the form of scripturally distinguishing actualization by God's decree through his sayings from manifestations of what shows up or what you see in time. In other words, to tell the difference, to be able to understand scripturally the difference between what is actualized or what is real, that what is real is according to God having spoken it.
Right.
And what we see is the manifestation, a testimony of what God has conveyed. And we have to know that and understand the difference. We will deal with some aspects of this morning. So we're talking about comprehension.
Amen.
Comprehension. Everybody say comprehension.
Comprehension.
Now, in the first part of the document, and this is why I want everyone to get it, we have a section in there that deals with our purpose. The purpose. Actualization. Manifestation dialogue. Why are we talking about this? Why have we engaged for the last 3 years upon such an endeavor as far as conveying to you actualization versus manifestation? Purpose of actualization, manifestation. Why have we dialogued in this manner for 3 years? Is it a waste of time? Or is it time well spent? As we have corn here, and we're going to just touch on a little bit of it. We're running a little behind today, amen, time-wise. And we're going to run a little over this morning. I'm going to let you know that right now. Because we're going to actually make the case and deal with things that we need. We rush out of here then there's life waiting to just beat us up.
Amen.
The engagement of dialogues on the subject of actualization, manifestation. We've done this because of our desire to benefit the cause of eternal reality. Everybody say eternal reality.
Eternal reality.
Any reality that you have is eternal. And so our documentation addresses the scarcity of scripturally encountering the real currents of questions regarding how, why, when.
Glory to God.
Thank God, yes.
And these are questions we encounter daily. And because we're not able to comprehend, we're not able to cope. God's people basket cases. I'm not talking about the world.
No. Thank you, Jesus.
God's people. Fallen. God's people frustrated.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God's people frightened.
Frightened.
And most of all, God's people unhappy.
Albert.
Oh, God's people should be the happiest people in the world.
That's it.
Oh, no. I'm not saying because you're looking for this problem of so-called what is nagging you to be removed. No.
Hallelujah.
Our life is more about than the things that are us. The things that confront us, the things that we view and interface with each day, that's not the essence of life. The essence of our life is Christ. The essence of our life is purpose in eternity.
Yes. Amen. Thank God.
The essence of our life transcends our daily involvement. Now I know that's not what's being taught.
No,
the gospel of the grace of God, this is why we spend so much time distinguishing the gospels. That which should be conveyed as directives comes out of Paul's epistles. These directives to the grace church in the grace dispensation, the now age.
Amen.
We're grasping the wrong information.
Yes, we are, Pastor. Yes, we are.
And we're receiving our directions based upon those portions of the Bible that whose conveyances are from the earthly plane.
That's it.
Standing horizontally, looking around us, and gazing up on the matrix. What's the matrix? I'm not shy about using the word now. The measures of sequencing, which are only reflections, and depending upon what angle you're looking at, it determines what your observation is. And so we want to look at observation. We want to look at comprehension this morning.
Amen.
And this basically, but when we not able to grasp how, why, when, and where things occur, it causes instability. Instability comes because of a lack of comprehension and knowledge and understanding.
Yeah.
We're frightened because of the things that we cannot see.
Yeah.
was in the house the other day, and I knew that the wife and Roz were gone, and I kept hearing this noise. Boom. I said, oh my gosh, what is this? I got up and I went, I looked around, I didn't see anything, I went back to the computer. As soon as I sat down, I was concerned. So we did something. Maybe a squirrel got in the house or something, you know. Our old refrigerator just went out and we bought a new refrigerator. That was the ice maker. After I knew what it was, I sat down.
Come on here.
And I don't think I even heard that noise anymore. Because I knew what it is. What it was. You know what? If you know what it is, then things won't shake you up. Understand me this morning. This is why we want to get to the how, when, why, and where, so that things don't shake us up. That's why we're moved to. Anyway, read. Go back and read that. Why we're doing it. The purpose, that section in there. Why have we engaged this for 3 years? We move to part four. Everybody turn to part four. I think we had left off page 91 last week, if I... Up at the top, remember we had gone through and we just very quickly recapitulate that to you. 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge committed Timothy according to the prophecies going forth, which is the now message, that we might fight the good war. And we pull out the word polemic, which comes from the Greek noun polemon. It means hostility or war. So the fight of the good fight of the war deals with the essence of conveying the message to counteract all of the fraud information that gives physicality a heads up over spirituality. And so we look at things in the physical manner. We think of things physical, everything around us, we think that's it. Think life is out here just floating somewhere. Amen. No, and it frightens us. Mm-hmm. It frightens us. We're frightened. We're scared. And even though we were, saw my semi acknowledged that, you know, God is there and He's got, you know, control of things. We don't really believe that.
Mm-hmm.
If we really believe that and really internalize that, we wouldn't walk on fear and doubt.
That's it. Amen.
You know, with the knowledge that God has conveyed, amen, to us, that there's no reason for us to walk in fear.
Amen.
Once you get this, your life, you're not afraid of, you know, what's going to happen, and you look around and you're seeing things, and we're into election season now, and everybody's talking, well, if they get in power, they're going to da 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 da. You know the syndrome. You know, God is left, you know, like He left Adam in the garden, and while He was gone, the devil showed up and just made total havoc out of everything. Huh? It just messed up everything. Because, you know, then God, we may have to call God to come back to kind of straighten it up. Mm-hmm. Amen. But that's the thinking.
Right.
That's the thinking.
You know.
And because we think like that, we don't have a heads up on the world.
Amen.
They're scared to death. We're scared to death.
Jesus.
They don't have confidence. We don't have confidence. They lay up at wake at night worrying about things. We lay awake at night worrying about things. What's the advantage of this? The advantage of this is that as you get this, you can get a good night's sleep. And that if nothing else, that's that's a good night's sleep should be if nothing else, a good night's sleep should be worth knowing this. Huh? Part four, everybody repeat after me. Viewing the temporary worldly.
Viewing the temporary worldly.
From the eternal heavenly.
From the eternal heavenly.
Say it again. Viewing the temporary worldly.
Viewing the temporary worldly.
From the eternal heavenly.
From the eternal heavenly.
So see here what we're doing. We're looking down on life. Not around in life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
This is the message of the mystery.
That's right.
That message and that vital truth that was hid from ages until it was revealed unto Paul to be delivered to the church.
Yeah.
And this information is available to us. Sadly, not many ministries are preaching it and teaching it. Somebody's listening this morning to the children of Israel marching around the walls of Jericho seven times. And then the seventh time they gave out a loud shout and the walls fell down. So we must knock down the walls of Jericho.
Yeah.
You know what's wrong with that? Doesn't give us the how, why, when. Well, it gave us the when, but didn't give us the how. But why? And without that, the next test that came along for Israel,
sure
did they reflect back on Jericho?
No.
I guarantee you they didn't. They forgot all about it. God continued to feed them each day in the desert. And he would bring down the manna from on high and say, I'll feed you. But what did some of them do? They began to try to store it up. To make sure that I've got some, because God came today, but he might not come tomorrow.
He stored up. Couldn't trust.
God said to them, you know, you rascals, I'll if you store it up, it's going to spoil. The worms are coming. You know. But the essence of life is when you're looking down, you've got a bird's eye, what you call a panoramic overview of what's going on. And you get to see everything, because when you stand on a horizontal plane and you're looking on a horizontal level, there may be joy there. But if trials and trouble come in the way, that's all you're going to see. Even though the joy is on the other side, amen, you're going to be moved by what you see. This is what Paul said. We're not looking at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen.
Oh,
geez.
Thank God.
Good.
Yes, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank
God. Oh, God, help us. We've been blessed so much.
Yes,
we are. We're sons of God, heirs of God.
Mm-hmm.
We have been some position in the body of Christ
mm-hmm.
even before we were placed in these bodies. God saved us. and put us and gave us his nature.
Yes, he has.
And put us in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you are now.
Right.
If this whole world went up in smoke,
right,
just completely just incinerated,
right,
and at some point it will, according to Peter's prophecy,
that's right,
yeah, you're safe.
Safe.
Because of where he placed you, mm-hmm, in eternity. Now, Elder Liberman is our designated reader. I want to deal with some aspects of this morning. Let's go to the bottom paragraph there. Everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
Here we're dealing with the fight, and the fight is to get this information out. That this is what you will believe and live by rather than what is fed through you through the eyes of sight. What is fed to us, the eyes of sight, is what is humanistically gleaned from the things around us. Now, I would never stand up here and preach against science. So we're not anti-science. We're not anti-physicality.
Nope.
But we just want to view it from the vertical plane.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, just like that ice maker, once you know what it is, it's not going to frighten you.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? It's not going to frighten you. In that last paragraph, it deals with that which is the beliefs that are coming from the wells of physicality as conveyed to us to what we call science or physics or the essence of life that is couched in physicality,
mm-hmm,
couched in the essence of the things that we see. And we think that life is based upon what we see,
mm-hmm,
which are only manifestations.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are flawed because of angles that we're looking at the light. Everything comes from the light.
Mm-hmm.
Remember this.
Mm-hmm.
It can't manifest unless it's decreed. And if it's decreed, it must manifest.
Right. Yeah.
According to God's will.
Right.
The events in the garden, you know, the language of God coming back and say, Adam, where are you? And so forth. That would impugn God's,
mm-hmm,
omniscience,
mm-hmm,
to say he didn't know where Adam was.
Right. Right.
You see, what is written there, and this is why we don't go back there for doctrine, is written in light of that covenant.
Mm-hmm.
At the point of that writing, what's the covenant?
The Edenic
covenant. Very little is known in the Edenic covenant. So God doesn't jump the gun and give us the insight of eternality in the garden. So what is seen is a testimonial in purpose. And we don't walk by sight, do we? Huh? What do you think Paul meant when he said, don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. We don't live by the things that are around us. Some of us, we live by the newspaper. And the television screen. We basically, our whole concept,
amen,
of life is drawn from the television set.
Amen. Amen.
From the evening news to the sitcoms to the entertainment programs
Amherst
to Sci-Fi You see, that's not the message for this age. And Paul said the things that are unseen, that's what we're looking at. That's what we're considering. I'm going to do a little exercise this morning. Let me make a little adjustment here as I stand. I want to look at some words here. Let's go to, let's corroborate something. First of all, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Paul has given all of this great and glorious information of God's workings in eternity before time. And anybody wants to dispute that, what does before the foundation of the world mean?
That's right.
That's before time, right?
That's right.
Isn't time a creation? So before the creation of the world, there was no time, right? All right, Elder, read that verse from, oh my God, one of these days y'all let me preach about 3 or 4 hours. I don't have to be rushing like this. It never fails, the looks. Read that from the Greek. Well, I'm not going to get through this anyway. Yeah, let's read the King James first.
Ephesians chapter 1.
Everybody got Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, amen?
Amen.
Beginning with the 18th verse. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
Now, what is Paul saying here? Bringing it into context in the... After seeing the verse 17, speaks of the fact of God that's actually said may give, haven't given, and Paul is speaking to those on the basis that God has given them, because here we look at that verb there that is not saying what he might give and stops. It's an aorist tense there. So we have there the essence of manifestations based upon actualization. So the probability of him giving is basically determinatively a foregone conclusion, because he wouldn't be praying the prayer at 18, which would be inconsistent with the decree if God hadn't already done it. Y'all follow what we're saying there? It said, may give, having give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, where? In the knowledge of him. So Paul is making an assumption that those that this is intended for, and that's who his message is to. Those who would believe it, because you cannot believe a thing unless it has been predeterminately given to you to believe. In other words, the actual believing occurs in God's decree. And the fact that you expressly believe is the manifestation that follows the decree. But let's go to verse 18 in the Greek. Everybody with us.
Okay. Ephesians chapter 1, the 18th verse in the interlinear Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Having been enlightened.
Say that again.
having been enlightened.
Why are we going to the Greek? That's why we go to the Greek. He's speaking to those having been enlightened. You know what's in the King James? It said being enlightened. There's a great difference between a thing that is complete versus something in progress. Something could interrupt something in progress. So when I'm going to the store, and okay, I hope you get there. Be careful. Uh-huh. I've been to the store. Uh-huh. No need to say that, is it? Huh? No need to say, be careful, right? Not in relationship to something that is complete. Keep reading.
Having been enlightened, the eyes of the heart of you.
Of your mind, your heart, there, that word there, katheos, could be also translated mind. All right.
Further, to know you, what is the hope?
Now you see that? You see that Greek word there, the word translated to know, that's ethene. That is a what? Brother Deacon, do you have your Greek lexicon?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
I think it's an
aorist. Absolutely, it's an aorist. I'm looking at the ending. That is an infinitive. What's an infinitive?
Verb noun.
What's a noun? Name of place, person. So here you have something named that's doing something.
Mm-hmm.
To know. To know what?
Mm-hmm. To know what is the hope of the calling of him,
mm-hmm.
what the riches of the glory of the inheritance of him in the saints.
So he's saying all that he has invested in you, that you will comprehend it. That you comprehend the essence of God in a sphere that are a level that is above what we call this life. You know, we try to bring God right down where we are, you know, and, you know, if, hey, we worry, God worries sometimes too. Sometimes I hear people talking about Jesus as though he's just a man.
Right. Yeah, Lord.
Somebody even was dumb enough to say he didn't know everything. Well, I said, for a minute I said, that is so crazy, but if you don't think that God knows everything in Genesis, then when you get if he walks in the garden and says, Adam, where are you? He must have known where he was. Now, divide the Bible according to what? Dispensations and covenants. If you do not divide this Bible, you don't have a ghost of a chance of understanding it. The more you read, the dumber you will get.
Absolutely.
If you do not divide the Bible, I've heard Deacon Gavin this morning talk about dietary directives of given to Israel in the Old Testament, and then what is given basically to us. You know, you pray over the needed. Don't worry about the essence of whether it was sacrificed. In those days, we have to pray these days too. Look at sometimes they have these recalls of food. You know, but in those days, you absolutely were your own. There were no government regulations of saying, you know, we have to have some regulations of where this is coming from. And so they prayed over it. But the essence of what to eat and not to eat, that was to Israel. So you have to divide this Bible.
Yes, you do.
In the same sense, the information that's coming to us is from our gospel.
Amen.
Stay in your gospel.
Hallelujah.
Here, this information in this verse is being conveyed to us the essence of eternal viewing. Everybody say eternal viewing. So that you know what's happening. Let me corroborate this. Hold, Ephesians. Let's go to John 1:1. What they call the gospel, that's not in them. I don't know where that came from. John 1:1. All right, Elder. I hear pages. I wait on you. Guess we're not really going to get nowhere near where we thought this morning. But you know, I'd rather for you to walk out here with something and a comprehension. No use to go into page 2 unless you understand page 1. You know, it's not about to get out here and tackle life. Mm-hmm. All we know is the things that we're fed through the different medias. Whether it's television or whether it's through books, you know, the scientists, they have told us certain things, and we depend upon those things that they've told us. We believe them, don't we? Oh yes, we do. John 1:1 read.
King James, sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
John chapter 1, beginning with the first verse.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
So here basically he's speaking concerning eternality, and God is by himself. And verse 2. Mm-hmm.
The same was in the beginning with God.
Mm-hmm. Verse 3.
All things were made by him. And without him.
Now look, that here you have the instrumental case. Well, we take care of it when we get to the Greek. Keep reading.
And without him was not anything made that was made.
Okay, so what are you saying here? Everything is sourced from God. Comes from God. How can he not be in control of that which comes from him?
Oh, good God.
And that's in him.
Right.
Of course, this is the corroborative sense. When we get to Colossians 1:16, it says what? Things were made what?
By him and for him.
In him. What you get the by from?
Right.
Go back and read that Greek. That's
in him.
That's Ipsilon Ni. In. In him. Here you have the locative case. In him. Everything dwells in him. And anything that's going on is sourced out of him. We'll see that in a minute. Verse 4.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5.
That word, that force, light. Light. Everybody say light.
Light.
The essence of what we call life is sourced out of the light. The light. Everything's about light.
Amen.
And in verse 5.
And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
As a young man, I read that blew my mind because I was trying to understand and comprehend what John was saying there. Let's go to the Greek. Verse
5. In the Greek,
Verse 5. And the light in the darkness shines.
So the light here, where's the light? The light is what?
In him.
Is it independent of him?
No.
It's sourced out of him. And the light, what?
And the light in the darkness shines, and the darkness it not overtook.
That's the difference there. Now here you have, I'm a pastor teaching on this. You have the Greek word katalavin. The root word there is katalavano. Vano, you have the root word there, lambda. The prefix there is kata. Kata means what?
Down.
According to. Lambda means down. Or to hold down. Or to grasp. And what he's saying here is the darkness of that which opposes the light is held down according to the light. So the light overshadows everything, and because it is the source of everything. We must understand this. Everything's about light. Everything that you see is light.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
You know, we made the demonstration. I see some puzzled looks here. You see the demonstration that we gave to you several couple weeks ago. Yeah, let's use the same one. See this podium? It's solid, isn't it?
Appears.
It's not. These walls are solid, aren't they? They're not. As we look at each other, this looks. It's not. Well, since we have so much confidence in the scientists, solids dissolve into liquids, right? I mean, there's some catalyst or some agent that. You could dissolve and become what? There's some acids are strong enough to do what? To turn us into liquids.
That's it.
Right? It's a science teacher. Am I correct?
That's right.
But then stop there. Liquids can disintegrate into what?
Vapor.
Gas. And vapor. And the only difference is the molecules they're interlocked, because when you break the molecules down, you have what? Atoms. Mm-hmm. Now I'm talking the scientist language now. Since everybody's looking at me all puzzled. And in the atoms, you have what?
Protons.
Protons, what?
Neutrons.
Neutrons.
Electrons.
So the protons and the neutrons are at the nucleus of the atom. And then on the periphery, you have rings of what?
Electrons.
But then you have to break those down. The electrons, the protons, and the neutrons are made out of what scientists call quarks. And if you ask the scientist, what is a quark? If he's honest, he's going to tell you, I don't know. But in observing the quarks, they say each one has its own functionality and emits its own light. Which is consistent with the essence of matter. Energy. What is energy? Light. All of this is separate manifestation. Not the essence of reality. You mean to tell me what I'm looking at is not real? I'm telling you that whatever you're looking at, it is a testimony or a manifestation of that which is real. What is real is what God has decreed. Everything comes from the light. And so basically, what is grasped or held down is according to the light. Let's go to Ephesians. Some of y'all still looking at me. Puzzled. Let's go to Ephesians 3:18. Guess we won't get to the observation today, but we, amen. If you just walk out of here with the comprehension of that which flows is from the light. Because what we want to do is we want to do what the scientists won't do. They're looking for singularity. And because they can't find singularity, they can't close the equations. And when they can't close the equations, they use the uncertain quantity of what they call infinity. Because they can't close the equation. But you can't close the equation, or you can't find singularity with physicality.
Oh, that's it. Oh, thank God. That's right.
Singularity is the light. Elder, read that.
Ephesians chapter 3, the 18th verse.
I didn't see. You know why? The reason you won't hear much preaching from Paul's epistles, because even the minister said they can't follow what he's talking about. No, listen. You cannot just read Paul's epistles. You've got to study them. That's why his mother, I read my Bible every day. So my question is, do you ever study it? You can read it all you want to. You need to study it. Isn't that what the scripture said? Did it say read? Yeah, fine to read, but he says what? Study. Organize. That's what that word means. Endeavor. It's hard work. But we don't like hard work. Most of us don't like to read anything.
That's right.
I don't like to read. We'd rather sit down in front of that box and let it speak to us. Read. Read. Go ahead.
Ephesians chapter 3, 18th verse.
Everybody got that. Say amen.
Amen.
May be able to comprehend with all saints what is a breadth and length and depth and height.
All right. Go ahead.
And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled.
Hold on. Let's not go to 19. Let's just stop. Oh. Just that one word. Read that 18th verse again. Everybody, let's horn in and focus on verse 18. I'm going to be down in about 10 minutes.
Verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height.
All right, let's go to the Greek. Because to get the actual conveyance, we must exegete. We must interpret using the three aspects of scrutiny, which are what?
Grammatical,
historical,
contextual.
Contextualizing it, Paul in the antecedent verse here is speaking about Christ dwelling in their heart by faith and being rooted and grounded in Him, or settled in Him. That's what he's talking about. So how are you going to do this? And that's why we get to verse 18. Historically, this is our gospel. So he's not talking about the flesh being able to do anything, is he? He's talking about the spirit. I'm ministering this morning to your spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks and gives illumination to your spirit. So this is no appeal to the flesh.
No.
Grammatically, read that.
Verse 18 in Greek. In order that ye may have strength.
Hold it, hold it. Brother Deacon, what give me what is that?
Subjunctive
mood. That you may have having that you may be strengthened, haven't been strengthened. Notice, again, I don't know who God's elect are. God, he didn't give us that information. I know I'm saved. You know you're saved. So the premise is that as we convey this, it's not about education.
All right. Come on.
As we convey this, it is on the premise that you have been strengthened to receive it. That's why I always said that. You understand something? Don't be saying thank you, pastor. No, or thank you, minister. Thank you what? Who's the teacher?
The Holy Spirit.
Who's the teacher here?
The Holy Spirit.
That's why it doesn't matter who's even standing up here ministering. The Holy Spirit is the teacher.
Yes.
It goes from spirit to spirit. Oh yes, we are commissioned to preach it, but we are no more than the bat in the hand of the slaughter. The bat's not doing the job. The bat is a vessel to knock the ball out of the paw. Amen. The creator, amen, and the essence of the aim of it is lies with the slaughter. Everybody say, we're but vessels.
We're but vessels.
The Holy Spirit is the teacher. So what is it you maybe haven't been strengthened to what?
May have been strengthened to apprehend.
Hold it. See that word there? That is the same word that we just got through using or dealing with in John. Look at it closely. Kata laves there. Oh, it has a different character there. But it's the same word. You trace it back to the same word. To hold down. To grasp. Look at that word. And compare it with the other word. And it may be a little difference in there, but it's the same word. To grasp. But here, Brother Deacon, tell us what that is.
That is an aorist infinitive.
It's an aorist infinitive. The same as the other word was an aorist infinitive. Again, what's an infinitive?
Verb
and noun. It's a verb and noun. What's a noun? It's named something. So here you have something naming something, but actually it is a verb noun, so it is conveying action as well as naming something. And what you hold down, what you grasp. What you comprehend. What is he talking about as comprehending? Read.
To apprehend with all the saints. What the breadth and length.
Oh my God.
And height.
We always.
And depth.
We see things in what? How many dimensions do we see things?
Two.
young people, the school. How many dimensions are there? Three. But no. Five. What Paul is saying here, what we call three is four. Because when we say lift, width, and depth, we're talking about what? Space. Are we talking about space?
Right.
But if we are to believe Einstein's theory, and of course the Word of God, even more importantly, there are four. Because you can't separate space from time, can you? Can you really? Huh?
That's right.
These are all components. Are all the components a manifestation? What you see. It is the measurement of what you see. Now, the very first one here. Oh my God, I wish I had another 30 minutes, but all right. It's Plato's. It's called breath. That's the fifth one. When he says, mikos, he said lift. Right?
Mm-hmm.
When he said ethos, he said what? Height. And when he said vathos, he said what?
Depth.
And of course, he doesn't deal with the time here. But in other avenues, it teaches us that time as well as space are what? Creations. Come on, creations. The first one here, I guess we'll just jump off from here next week. Platos is what the scientists miss. Singularity. Which is the determination of the lift, width, height, and time. The lift, width, height, and time is what you observe on the matrix. What you see. Oh, I'm not going to be shy about that word anymore. You all went to the movie and spent your money to see it. Matrix, you have the Greek word metros, which means measurement. Which is how a thing is measured out, a sequence out, for us to see it. Earth doesn't abide in sequences because God is timeless. Everybody say God is timeless. That's only one decree. But it's up on the matrix for testimony, and he has to sequence that thing out for us to be able to comprehend it. Because we're finite. We're not like God.
Nope.
But what God is well is up on that matrix. In height. In breadth. In length. In depth. In time. Is driven by the first one. Which is the singularity source of purpose or light.
Right.
They miss purpose. God's purpose for it being there.
Right.
It wouldn't be there if...
No way.
There's a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my time is out, but, you know, purpose, that whatever is going down in your life, that's a purpose.
That's it.
That's a scripture that we didn't get to tonight. Today, rather, it's talking about God being immortal. Of course, the translator said he dwelleth in light. No, no. If you exegete that correctly, how can he dwell in that which he is the source of? The light comes out of him. And if we understand this now, we can have confidence in the light, in the source, in the purpose. Why, Lord God, amen, has caused in your life is purpose. All of us have confidence in God's purpose.
Oh, yeah. Thank God.
Yeah. Oh, my time is gone.
Oh, God.
That thing is happening. And it's about to tear you up. It's about to run you crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's blowing your mind. It's got your world turned upside down. You can't function. Because it's up there. You don't understand it. You don't know what it is. How, when, why, where. All that's bombarding you, and it's tearing you up. Because you don't know or comprehend what's going on. You know, like the ice maker. You don't understand what's going on. But God hasn't devised it for you to know what's going on, because the purpose doesn't lie in the essence of the lift, width, and height of time. Oh my God, it's not in physicality. The purpose is in eternality.
Oh.
Everybody say eternal purpose.
Hallelujah.
It's the light. And it's in purpose. Here's our problem. Here's our problem. And then we'll close. Our problem is, when we say we have faith in God, you know what we're saying? We having faith in God to do what we want him to do. That's what we're saying. Or what we petition him to do. We say we have faith. We're asking for something, and we're looking for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we have an agenda, but God doesn't have one.
Amen.
We have a plan, but God doesn't have one. Oh, children of God, there's only one plan.
Amen.
Who is the plan?
God.
God. You may be petitioning and praying for something that he hasn't decreed. And if he hasn't decreed it, what?
It
can't manifest. But can we have the faith to believe him, amen, and trust him and have faith in him for what he wants? And what he is planning. Lord, I don't know which way you go with this thing, but I believe you. I trust you. You know, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, given the example, and that was the purpose of that exercise in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, if there's another way to do this, I'm just paraphrasing.
Amen.
He said, let's go another route. But then he said what?
Nevertheless.
Nevertheless what?
Not my will.
Not my will. That's why we don't have prayer here without a minister. Because nobody's going to come in here bringing the Chicago glory down. Let's shake heaven up. He won't shake them. Oh my God, anyway. You make a lot of noise. That's all you're going to do. And then go out here frustrated when God's will is done. When it's through knowledge, if you pray that and understand and have confidence in his will, that whatever's coming down, we say, thank you, Lord. Huh? That's the essence of life. And this is where we're going with all of this. Because remember, everything lies in eternality. It's been there from the beginning. What it is what it is, amen. And I tell you, whatever it is to our advantage. How do you know? Because we are sons of God, heirs of God, heirs of that which belongs.
Woo! Yes. Glory to God.
life like the world.
Yes.
I think of the song. You don't hear it sung much. Practice a hymn. Hmm? My hope is built.
Yes, it is.
On nothing less.
Yes, it is.
See, you say song, you really not. You just singing when you say hope, if your hope is in the things that are around you.
Right.
Every hope that we have is an eternal hope. If the only hope that we have is in this life, we're all men most pitiful. Our hope is eternal hope. Our hope is built on nothing less than what? Jesus Christ. Everybody say Christ. Say it again. Say it again. And nothing else. Say nothing less. Same thing as nothing else, does everything else is less. And God trusts the sweetest thing, but holy, taste the holy, completely lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the sunny rock, I stand. All other ground, everything outside of Christ is sickness. Oh, my time is about to be God bless you. Oh,